I know him too.
How do you know him?
So, good morning. How are you?
Just fine.
That was so cool.
Well, so in just a few short minutes, we are going to head over to Mass. And, yeah! Jesus time. Jesus. So, I wanted to give a few tips and reminders about Mass. First and foremost, please do not eat any candy at this time or any other kind of food, because we need to fast an hour before we receive communion. So, I just want to say, the Eucharist, for those of you who don't know, is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes in the form of those like little wafer bread things and the wine. For anyone who is not Catholic or has not received their First Communion, just remember, you guys are welcome to go up to the priest and receive a blessing, but just make sure you cross your arms as you go up there to signify that you can't receive it yet. So as we close out this Antioch weekend, I will be giving a reflection on the Eucharist and what it means to each and every one of us. Do you know why?
Why?
Okay, I don't know.
Because a lot of the time, we go to Mass without giving any thought as to why we are there and what we believe it means. So I wanted to share a real quick story about myself. It's about my First Communion. How many people here remember their First Communion?
Woo!
Yeah. There we go. So I remember when it was the part of Mass for me to receive this like little tiny piece of bread. And I was all dressed up and looking pretty snazzy for a second grader, not going to lie.
Yeah.
And just as I was about to go up, I started to wonder a very interesting question. What did it taste like? Because I was a weird kid. And so it was funny because I asked my mom right before I went up, and she didn't know how to answer. So she answered with, "Just don't make a weird face." And I thought, that's not a good sign. So, that kind of reminds me of like people nowadays, how a lot of people focus on the physical aspect of the Eucharist. And we should really be focusing on the spiritual aspect, you know? Like, Jesus is really in there. And it's kind of like the ultimate example of what, it's not what's on the outside, but it's what's on the inside that counts. So, from the very beginning, the Eucharist, or the Lord's Supper, was originally celebrated as a meal, and the disciples and the early church came to this meal as a way of remembering the salvation that was brought through Christ's death. We believe, as Catholics, that through the sacrament of the Eucharist, that Jesus Christ is holy and entirely present in his body and blood that he gives you and me through the bread and wine. You're going to be hearing those two words a lot, so just bear with me. So we have been taught that Christ is present in the Eucharist, not only in the consecrated bread and wine, but also in the community of believers in Scripture. So the early Christians met in each other's homes to celebrate this ritual meal. They understood that the risen Lord was alive and with them, and they were doing this in his memory. The Lord's Supper was a time of community gathering. They were, in fact, the very body of Christ, as 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Though there are many of us, we form a single body. We are the body, the mystical body of Christ." So the word Eucharist comes from the Greek word eucharista, which means thanksgiving. It comes from the meal Jesus shared with his disciples, known as the Last Supper, when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." The Last Supper was one of many meals he shared with his friends as a sign of fellowship, peace, and trust. Now, I'm going to take you guys on a journey 2,000 years ago through meditation. I will simply ask you guys to close your eyes in a minute, and I will set the scene for the Passover. I invite you guys to picture everything I say and follow along from start to finish. Please close your eyes. I want you guys to clear your mind. Whatever may be going through your mind right now, I just want, just push it out. I want you guys to imagine a desert scene. on a midsummer's night. The moon is shining bright, it's a full moon. A slight wind is blowing over, and you see a rustic, beige-colored building. It's a two-story building, but I want you to imagine the inside of the second floor. There's a large table, candles lit here and there, and the moonlight is flooding through the windows. There's wooden floorboards, kind of squeaky, and you see 13 people seated at the giant table. There's bread and a chalice of wine prepared on that table. Now all 13 of the men, they all have beards, kind of wearing robes, they have sandals on. But there's something almost radiant about the person in the middle. He looks scared. But he also is full of joy. That person is Jesus. And the 12 apostles are looking at him with a confused look, but also one of relief. Because they're about to share a meal with Jesus. And keep that image in your head as I read the Bible account of the Last Supper. When the hour came, he took his place at table with the apostles. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from this time on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which will be given up for you. Do this in memory of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you." Open your eyes. So, one of the best parts of that story, I think, is that this meal still goes on today through communion. Maybe not exactly like how it happened, although it would be cool to sit at a giant table with like a bunch of candles lit everywhere. But when the priests consecrates the bread and wine for communion and turns it into the body and blood, it's the same Jesus that gives us a chance to be in union with him. He is present in the host Eucharist and in the people Eucharist around us. Together, we are truly the body of Christ. Now, I don't know how many people have seen the movie Guardians of the Galaxy. How many of you have seen that movie?
Yo.
Yeah.
I like it.
Look at all you Marvel people. So for those of you who haven't, there is a character named Groot. And throughout the whole movie, the only thing he can say are three words: "I am Groot." Even though he actually means something else, kind of like his own language. But there is a scene at the end, just before he's about to make the ultimate sacrifice, that he is talking to his team. Just before he goes to protect them from the ship that they were in, he tells them, "We are Groot." Now that may seem a little weird for this talk, but I think it's a perfect parallel with Christ in the Last Supper. Because to a lot of people, it seemed like Jesus was only saying that he was Jesus. But as a matter of fact, through the act of the Last Supper, he showed them that we are Jesus. We all work as a part of his body. We are struck by the realization that the Eucharist, which we so often take for granted, is an incredible gift. It's crazy, because it's actually like a little miracle being performed in the hands of the priest. And it's the most effective way to become a part of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how about me? Where does this realization lie in my life? Well, I took it for granted a lot in the past, and always thought of it as something I just needed to get over with. It wasn't up until a few months ago that I truly realized that the bread and wine were Jesus' body and blood. It all happened when I was altar serving for a Mass over at St. Peter's. I was standing behind the altar and was waiting to receive communion. After I ate the Eucharist, I drank the wine. But for some odd reason, the wine actually tasted like blood to me, like legitimately tasted like blood. So I asked my brother and sister that were also altar serving with me if they experienced the same thing. They hadn't. It just tasted like normal wine to them. I took that as a reminder that day, that it was just that, the blood of Christ. Even with that, I still take it for granted some days. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to strive to appreciate it more. As for Mass, I sometimes go because I want to, but mostly I go because I have to. It's one thing to go to church physically, but spiritually it's a whole nother level. I only go to Mass once a week, but it honestly wouldn't be a bad idea to go during the weekdays. Now, I'm not saying to you that you should go to Mass because you on a weekday because you need to. I'm saying you should go to Mass because you want to. And you should want to go to Mass anyway. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to praise Jesus who saved all of us by dying on the cross for us? Participating in other church activities is a really good idea, too. I normally don't do much besides go to Antioch and work the confirmation meetings on Sunday nights. But I could do so much more. You know, like there's things like ushering, helping feeding the poor, you know, becoming a Eucharist minister. There's so many things you can do. Usually, when I think I'm within the body of Christ, I normally think I'm like a part of the body that isn't doing much, but it's still there, kind of like a finger or a toe, you know? But I think it's time for me to do more for the body and become a leg to help lift up this body, this church. Now, I ask you guys, please, be better than I was. Help the church as soon and as much as you can. Believe me, you will not regret it. If you believe in communion and its power, if you believe in the Eucharist, that it is truly the body and blood of Jesus, and you receive it that way, the big man will help you come back to life. Thank you. Yeah.